Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, it's Thursday, the 29th of August. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Coming up today, we'll hear from a Kent pub boss on the new smoking bans being proposed by the government. And we'll also hear from a man who stayed on in the same job for 51 years despite being tied up and robbed at gunpoint. But first, taking a look at our top story today. A business in Ashford has been given a zero-star food hygiene rating after inspectors found blood-soaked floors. MM Cash and Carry, which is a butcher's and a supermarket in New Rents, was also found to have raw food stored incorrectly and mould in the kitchen. Lucy has been following this story for the Kent Online podcast.
It's the second time in less than a year that MM Cash and Carry has received a zero-star hygiene rating. The latest report highlighted a catalogue of failures, including poor hygiene practices, damaged equipment and mould. The large chiller had no working light and meat products were coming into contact with bloodstains on the floor. Raw food was found stored next to ready-to-eat foods in the walk-in chiller, including an animal carcass next to fresh herbs and salad. Inspectors also found there was no suitable hand soap or hand-drying facilities.
And as you say, this isn't the first time they've been given a poor hygiene rating.
That's right. In 2016, an active cockroach infestation was found and it was ordered to close. In 2021, officers issued a two-star rating after dirty fridges and missing tiles were reported. Last year, issues included broken fridges, out-of-date food, flies and a worker washing their feet in the sink.
What have the business owners had to say?
Well, a spokesperson for the store said it's made all the necessary changes and has since been cleared on all fronts. They say they've had issues with training, but operations have completely changed and have been updated to comply with guidelines. He goes on to say everything is clean and there are methods in place to make sure standards don't slip again. They're just waiting for another inspection. A spokesperson for Ashford Borough Council added the improvement notice has now been complied with and they'll be continuing to monitor this business to ensure that improvements are maintained.
Thanks, Lucy. You can see pictures of the condition of the shop at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A man has been jailed for sexually assaulting a woman in Canterbury while she slept. Lloyd Sands carried out the attack in 2019. Despite the victim telling him she did not consent, he also filmed the whole thing on his phone. The 30-year-old, who lives in Plymouth in Devon, has been locked up for 12 years. Four men have appeared in court accused of being part of a town centre brawl in Medway. Police were called to Chatham High Street in May after the fight broke out in broad daylight. The group pleaded not guilty to all the charges and have been released on bail. Their trial won't start until November due to a backlog of cases. A Herne Bay man has been locked up after a court heard he had a fetish for listening to women use the bathroom. Michael Goodwin was spotted shuffling into the female facilities at Heron's Leisure Centre in June. The 67-year-old, who lives in Highview Avenue, was subject to a sexual harm prevention order at the time. He's been sentenced to 2 years and 10 months. A Kent pub boss has been giving us his reaction to reports of a potential smoking ban in some outdoor spaces. It's understood the government is considering introducing restrictions in places including beer gardens, restaurant terraces and some parks. Ministers haven't confirmed the proposals but say they're looking at a range of measures to make Britain smoke-free. Philip Thorley runs Thorley Taverns in Thanet.
We have outdoor smoking areas. The company has been going for over 50 years and so we were trading pre the smoking ban and we've got over that hurdle really well. You know, we have really nice outdoor smoking areas. We have heaters. We have televisions there for people to be able to watch the sport. We have nice, comfortable seating and it works. And I don't find that there is a need. Sometimes you go, OK, there may be a need that wants to get sorted out here. I don't see where the need or the driver is coming from. Probably the health lobby on wanting the people not vape and not smoke at all. But I think there's an element of public choice in there as well.
So some people have said this could be a nail in the coffin for pubs. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. I think pubs have been around for centuries. They're extremely resilient and our customers change as times go on. But I think choice is really important in life. And those people who come into our venues, if they don't want to consume alcohol, we have a vast range of non-alcoholic drinks. If people want to vape, then we ask them to go outside. If they want to smoke, we let them to go outside. And people are really compliant and happy with that. We do have a balcony on one of our pubs, which is right on the cliff top. And it's quite a narrow balcony, and the tables are quite close together, and we do quite a lot of food. And we actually have part of that outside area, as part of it is smoking and part of it's non-smoking. And that works really well. We don't have, in fact, we get compliments about it rather than complaints about it. So I just think it's a common sense thing. I think that if you were to say you couldn't smoke in the pub outside smoking area in the pub garden, and then push people onto the pavement, I don't think that's a very sensible solution either. So I think it's ill thought through. It's another one of those things that they'll just put up and it will just disappear where it should go, down the plug hole.
Kent Online News.
A court has heard a Dover man subjected his girlfriend to a campaign of abuse and violence weeks after being released from prison. Stuart Turnbull had previous convictions for a violent street robbery when he punched, headbutted, kicked and strangled his victim in attacks between last September and January. The 30-year-old, who lives on Biggin Street, has been locked up for another 5 years. Investigators believe a fire at a school in Folkestone may have been started deliberately. Emergency crews were called to Cheriton Primary on Church Road 2 weeks ago. It's reported a man wearing a black balaclava was seen in the area at the time. A computer shop boss from Medway is thought to be the first person in the UK to be charged with crypto ATM offences. Habiba Rahman is accused of operating an illegal cryptocurrency machine without proper registration from the Gadgets shop on Chatham High Street. The 37-year-old, who lives on Langdon Crescent in East Ham in London, is due in court in October. A building in Sittingbourne that's been left abandoned since the pandemic is getting a revamp. Age UK's Heather House in the Avenue of Remembrance is being transformed into a much-needed cafe and food bank. It's thanks to Swale Community Care Project and Sittingbourne and Sheppey Helping Ukraine, who have come together to give it a new lease of life. Our reporter Cara Simmons has been chatting to organisers Dan Marsh and Michelle Henniker.
Age UK have leased this property since it was built in 1989, so they've got a long history of providing support for the community. When COVID hit, the NHS came in and used the building as its vaccination centre. And then when that finished and the need for it finished, the NHS used it to their local offices whilst they rehoused elsewhere. So from January this year, effectively, the building's been empty. And I think it was literally everything was left as if somebody had evacuated the building. We've picked out iPads and people's personal belongings and even a few sharps were in the kitchen area. So it was literally left as it was, as the clothesline still from when they had the sheeting up between the cubicles for the people to be injected. So it's taken a little while to clear it all through and repurpose some of it. So where we have, again, Asian Care would be really good to say, where possible, please use what's here. So we've got on and done that. And I say we're just trying to now sort of reformat it in a structure that we think will be useful for the community.
Why is this needed for Sittingbourne? Why do you think the residents need a place like this at the moment?
Swale itself is quite financially deprived in an awful lot of areas. Sadly, with KCC having their funds cut, they're having to cut services that are needed locally, and we understand why, but that leaves people in Swale without essential care, really. You have people that will sit in their home all day with nothing, not speak to another soul, and that's their life. And so if two charities can get together and open something as simple as a cafe, change a person's life, why wouldn't you do that? And we know how many people it's going to affect already because of conversations that have been had, because of messages coming through, because of other services that are contacting us saying, this is fantastic, can we revert? But we know how needed this is in the area.
Kent Online News.
A Medway mum says it's only a matter of time before a leak at her home in Twiddle causes the whole ceiling to cave in. Marley Simmons says her five-year-old daughter has already had a lucky escape when part of the bathroom ceiling gave way. Medway Council say they're working with the family to address their concerns and make sure everyone is safe. Businesses in Kent say they're still counting the cost of the ULEZ expansion as we mark a year since it came into force. Anyone with a non-compliant vehicle has to pay £12.50 a day to drive into Greater London. TfL say the expansion has led to a 13% drop in nitrogen oxide pollution from cars in the city. Bosses at Thames Water say they want to try and raise customers' bills by 52% by 2030. The company, which covers part of North Kent, says it would invest the money in new infrastructure. They've criticised plans by the regulator to put a cap on price increases, warning it could put them out of business. The Kent Online podcast has been speaking to the manager of a Morrison's Daily, who's retiring after 51 years. Kevin Foreman started with the company as a paperboy at the age of 14 at Martin Newsagents. He stayed on when it changed into Martin McColl's. He's been at the Morrison's Daily branch in Larkfield for 44 years, but now the 65-year-old says it's time to give up the 4am starts. He's been telling reporter Ellie Hodgson about some of the more challenging moments.
I was robbed again early in the morning. I was by myself. It's about 5:30 in the morning. And I was tied up at the back of the shop. That was the worst time. I was actually tied to the railings on the shelving at the back. That was horrible because I was tired. And there's nothing you could do. You'd have to wait for somebody to come in the shop to find out what was happening. That was the worst part.
What you've gone through in this job is extremely traumatic.
Well, it is, yeah. I nearly gave up then because I lost a lot of weight and I really got ill then. But you can't let them win.
But he's also recalled some of the reasons why he stayed in the job for so long.
It's just got too much and my health suffered a bit this month. And when I went in hospital Saturday and Sunday, when I was called in there sort of thing, it woke me up a bit. And I think it's time to move on. So I'm going to retire from that from 51 years. Give my whole life to the retail trade, not Morrison's, because Morrison's only been with us for about 3 years. But the whole trade, and I loved every minute of it really, except for obviously Lowe's, but others, but some people coming in, the customers coming in. It's just nice. Most of the customers are really lovely. It's a lovely trade to be in, but it's business now.
Mm. What has kept you so loyal over all these years?
Loving the job. Customers come in and say, oh, you're coming to work. I said, but I actually enjoy it. It's like we're open at 6 o'clock, but I'm there at 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, why are you doing your 2 hours of your time? Because I love it. It's for me. It's not to a company. I can get more done in my own time. It makes my job easier. People say you're a mug because people go 9-to-5 jobs. But if you enjoy what you do, there's no harm in doing overtime. So you don't get paid for it. But if you enjoy what you do, you don't mind doing it. It's like footballers. They get paid over a lot, but they enjoy what they do. Some of them don't, but they do because of the money. But money's never really bothered me. It's just that I enjoy what I do.
He says he's going to spend time with his family and the grandkids and watch them play football.
Kent Online News.
The bomb squad has been called to a property near Sittingbourne following reports of a suspicious package being sent to a home. Police set up a cordon in the Poles in Upchurch yesterday morning after concerns were first raised. The package has since been removed and appears to have been harmless. Good news for drivers. Operation Brock will be removed from the M20 this weekend. The contraflow system has been enforced between Maidstone and Ashford for the last 7 weeks to minimise the impact of delays at the border. Highway bosses say it was used to queue lorries 9 times over the summer, while Dover Tap was enforced on 22 occasions. Brock will be removed overnight on Sunday. A community initiative in Medway is hoping to reach out to men who might be feeling lonely or isolated. Men in Sheds is a scheme commissioned by A Better Medway. They're coming together to promote change. It comes as a government statistic say we're facing a silent health crisis with 4 out of every 5 suicides a man. The Men in Sheds program is a safe space for people of all ages to socialise in the hopes of bettering their mental health. They can take part in a range of different activities, including gardening. Malcolm Hazelton has been telling us the idea behind the project.
What I hope we've done is enable guys with maybe low self-esteem to do things and to be effective. Some of the guys that come here maybe haven't been out of their house for 3 years. People get used to spending time on their own. They become poorly socialised. So for most people, they tell me this is a gentle place that's welcoming. I think that projects like this, you might think of this as a social prescription because it gets people relating to each other.
Alan Perrin is someone who uses the garden.
It's helped my mental health, yes. Yeah, I come here every couple of weeks. I come here to socialise with people who come here and chat to, and while I'm doing a bit of gardening, I enjoy gardening.
Anyone who is anxious about taking the first steps is being encouraged to reach out for help. The Kent Wildlife Trust say we need to bring beavers back into the wild to combat the impacts of climate change. They've joined forces with the Wildwood Trust to put pressure on the government to roll out a reintroduction strategy. They want more support for farmers and management groups. Laura Gardner is from the Wildwood Trust.
All along the River Stour catchment, the population is growing. And we are seeing lodges appear, and they're quite territorial. The pairs will establish a lodge, and then they will then breed. And then at 2 years old, the kits will then disperse to find their own territory. And so we're seeing increasing numbers of beavers spread out along the River Stour catchment. And we can now, pretty much from the middle of Canterbury, you can sit on a bench beside the river, and about after sort of dusk time, you see the beavers emerge from their lodges, and they just swim up and down the rivers, and it's just, it's breathtaking, it's beautiful. We have really forgotten how to live alongside wildlife, and having moments like this is lovely.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I'll have to look out for them next time I'm down in Canterbury. And you mentioned the benefits that beavers can have on the landscape and in tackling things like climate change as well. I mean, can you just talk me through in basic terms what exactly it is they're doing?
Yes, well, particularly beavers have a very positive impact, particularly in upper river systems at the top of water catchments. And what they do is they'll build lodges and dams. And so they slow the flow of water. And what this means is it sort of establishes small pools, which is really good for biodiversity. So you get sort of fish populations, fish fry do really, really well in these shallow areas. The water is full of wildlife and invertebrates. And it also, further downstream, it slows the flow of the water. So it helps mitigate flood events in future. And obviously the water quality itself, you know, is improved by the activities of beavers. So it not only helps improve the quality of the water, it mitigates flood events further downstream. And it creates other habitats for wildlife, because obviously what we've done is we've kind of come in and humans have canalized water, and we want to get historically water from A to B as fast as possible. So we've created these artificially straight, hard engineered sided river systems, which are completely unnatural and really devoid of biodiversity. So putting the beaver back into the landscape, putting these natural, slow, meandering water systems back, with more pools, more wildlife, that benefits not just the water quality, mitigates flood defences, but also there's a well-being element to that as well. You know, it's lovely for us to see. So there's all sorts of benefits, and there's lots of evidence online that anybody who's interested can look at. Exeter University have probably led the way in doing a lot of evidence-based, scientifically robust work to look at, okay, well, we think we know the benefits that beavers do, but let's actually make sure we've got the conservation evidence to substantiate this.
Kent Online News.
Pupils at a school in Sheerness have helped create a booklet designed to keep thousands of children across Kent healthy. Year 3 students at Halfway Houses Primary were asked about what matters to them and drew pictures to go in the booklet. It includes information about things like teeth brushing and emotional well-being, and has been distributed to more than 10,000 school children across the county. And the new public artwork has been commissioned in Dartford to honour the life and work of Len Goodman. The former Strictly judge, who set up a dance academy in the town, passed away at the age of 78 last year. Some of his most famous quotes are going to be engraved into the pavement outside. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.